views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, I want to talk about how frustration, this simple yet all too common emotion, can create patterns that knock you out of your personal power and into your shadow. And I want to talk about what you can do to stop this from happening. As a social worker specializing in bringing out the best in people, while at the same time working on my own health issues, self-awareness, and spiritual development, I've spent more than half of my life coming to understand the many things that we as human beings do to get in our own way and make life harder than it needs to be. So today I'm going to focus in on only one of those things, which is allowing an emotion like frustration to create a pattern that sticks you in a groove, which brings down your vibrational frequency, or as I already mentioned, takes you out of your power and puts you in your shadow. Years ago, when I was a new grad from high school, I got hired in my first real career job as a stenographer for a large bank. Now, I was so excited. I was just bouncing off the walls. I didn't even know what a stenographer was, but I didn't care. If it meant that I got to work with money, I was in. Now, of course, as you might already know, a stenographer is basically a fancy name for secretary. So although I was in a bank, this particular job did not set me up to work with money, but rather with a typewriter, telephone, and filing cabinets. I didn't even get a computer back then. I tell you, it was tough. So my training was okay, but it was too short, in my opinion. And before I knew it, I was assigned as the only secretary to my very own bank branch. Oh, talk about intimidating. I was just about to turn 18. I felt totally out of my element. To top it off, the girl that I was replacing was leaving the bank forever, which to me is code for, I really don't care what kind of mess I leave this place in. She left a mound of typing that was due yesterday, a filing basket that was overflowing, and a steno looking much like a deer caught in the headlights of a car. So for the first few months, I allowed my frustrations to take over. I was frustrated with the girl who left, and especially with the mess that she left me in. I mean, surely they didn't expect me to clean up her mess. That's not fair. I was frustrated with clients who would come to me to get into their safety deposit box, and then they'd want to chat. I didn't have time to chat. I had typing to do, phones to answer, papers to file. And I was frustrated with my branch manager who expected me to just pick up where the other girl had left off and understand, you know, all about the confusing loan forms and mortgage papers and other forms that I had to fill in. No matter what I did, things just kept piling up. And the more they did, the more frustrated I became and the worse things got. Now, perhaps some of you can relate, hopefully not to being totally miserable, but to those frustrations that can creep in so quickly and easily that you don't even realize they have a hold on you. Like maybe your internet that just keeps letting you down when you need it most, or your washing machine that stopped working like only 3 weeks after your fridge conked out on you. Or maybe your frustrations have more to do with your relationships. like your family wanting food the second they walk in the door, or your colleague at work that steals your ideas and pretends they're his at the meeting. What's really interesting to me is that I was able to convince myself that other people were to blame for my frustrations. The girl who had left was definitely at fault for leaving such a mess. The customers were a problem for not understanding how busy I was. The manager was to blame because he was asking way too much of a teenager. Now, it's very possible that if you're experiencing frustrations like I was, you might be thinking, okay, but Debbie, it's true. It is their fault. You know, it is my son's teacher at school that is the problem, or my family really does expect me to have dinner on the table as soon as they get home, but they don't lift a finger to help me. Now, I hear you. I get where you're coming from. In my case, what happened was my boss, who was at least 23 years old, so she was like an old lady compared to me because at 18, everybody's old. And she noticed what a poor job I was doing. So when my 3-month probation came up, she told me that she would like to fire me, but she'd been instructed to give me a second chance by extending my probation. At first, I couldn't believe it. And then I got really mad at her. I mean, she just got it in for me. And then I thought, well, maybe I should quit. I'll show her. But slowly, I realized that she was right, that I was getting so caught up in my frustrations that I was allowing them to pull me down. Now, I've since learned that this type of thinking brings down your vibrational energy. And it's this energy that attracts things to you. Only it attracts things of the same basic vibrational frequency. So if it's frustration or similar feelings that you're holding tight to, it's situations that cause those kinds of feelings that you're going to get back. You see, as long as I allowed other people to control my frustration, I was giving them the power to control me and bringing myself down in the process. So I made a plan to break free of this negative pattern that I had put myself into and become the best darn secretary that bank had ever seen. And that started me on a journey of self-discovery and enlightenment that has since pushed me to get a couple of university degrees, write some award-winning books, and make it my mission in life to help others become aware of what they might be doing to hold themselves back in life rather than stand fully in their power. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I did at the bank to turn things around, because unless you're dealing with an overflowing in-basket, it won't be relevant to you. But what I do want to share is 3 secrets I've learned along the way that provide a starting point for moving out of your shadow and into your power. The first one is that awareness is key. I know it's easy to think that other people control how you feel. Like, he made me angry. She's so annoying. You've made my day, where they make you feel happy. And they do have an influence on the situation. But the truth is, any and all feelings come about as your reaction to something. Another piece of this is that the event itself is always neutral. Have you ever met someone who has just rode off their car and is ecstatic about it? There is nothing that says a car accident is bad, except our reaction to it. It's also important to understand that feelings are signals, nothing more, nothing less. They don't tell you what to do. They just suggest that something might be going on. An example that pops to mind for me is, have you ever had your child hide around a corner and then when you come around it, they jump out and scare you? What happens? In a typical scenario, if they really scare you, you jump, you get that little surge of adrenaline that feels like a waste of your very important energy, and that makes you angry, or maybe you feel embarrassed because you jump, and embarrassment often quickly transitions into anger. We really don't like being embarrassed, do we? So what happens? You end up yelling at your child, or at least giving them heck for jumping out at you. And it can actually turn into a really big deal, when in fact, it was just because of how you felt that you are responding that way. So anyway, our feelings are signals, nothing more, nothing less. The best thing that you can do with your feelings when they arise is notice them, decide if action needs to be taken, thank them, and let them go. But most people have not been taught how to do this. So any changes that you want to make in your life always begins with awareness, which makes sense because if you don't even realize you're letting your emotions run the show and you've never been shown any other way to deal with them, how would you know that things can even be different? Or if you've been taught to believe that events are either good or bad, you know, awesome or awful, terrific or terrible, then you might not even be aware there's another way to look at things. I remember several years ago listening to a woman named Carol Look. She was talking about a healing process called EFT or tapping. And at the beginning, she explained that you need to first bring up the event, concern, emotion, whatever it is that you want to tap on, similar to opening a document on your computer before making changes to its content. Because if you just sat down at the computer and started typing without opening a document, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. In fact, you're likely going to hear a lot of angry pinging sounds from your computer, or worse, you know, you reprogram it or something. So you need to start at the place that will best set you up for success to make any changes. And in this case, that happens to mean your awareness. Second secret is that you control your daily experience. Now, I've talked about this many times before. However, not for a while and not always in this kind of detail. So bear with me if you've heard it before. I'm sure you can get some little gems from it. So did you know that human beings are actually hardwired to remember negative things that happen to them more easily than positive? It's totally true. Dr. Rick Hansen talks about this in his book, Hardwiring Happiness, and he says that our brain is like Velcro for negative, sticky, and Teflon for positive. It just kind of shoots on through. Now, this is really important to understand because it means that we all have to put in more effort if we want to hold on to the happy little moments that come along in our life. I was really excited when I read this in Dr. Hansen's book because it actually put into words what I was trying to teach people with a little process that I had created that I refer to as NET. Now, the NET is all about enhancing your pleasurable moments. And really, it starts with realizing that we all experience many pleasurable moments throughout the day. Whether it be sinking into a comfy chair, laughing with a friend, playing a fun game with a child, maybe hitting a string of green lights or feeling the warmth of sunshine on your face, whatever it is that feels pleasurable to you. Now, typically, these moments just flit on through our awareness because, as I mentioned, we're not hardwired to anchor them in. And when this happens, they do nothing for us, but you know, they provide that brief second or two of pleasure, but that's it. Now think about that for a moment. I mean, if you have a flat tire on your way to work and then you're late for work, or maybe you missed the bus, or maybe you're standing beside somebody and they bump your elbow and your coffee spills all down your shirt, those kind of moments stick with you easily without any effort. And some of them can even stick for days, weeks, or years, right? We don't forget them easily. But all the little pleasurable ones just flit on through unless you consciously decide to take a moment and lock them in. Now, how's that for an outdated wiring system? Oh, well. There's nothing we can do about it. It's the one we have. Our brains come that way. So when you take the time and you learn how to lock them in, that's when you can kind of fix this old, outdated system. And so you reduce your stress. You get your happy hormones flowing. You create pathways in the brain to ensure that these events happen more often and that you notice them more easily. And it makes you feel fantastic. So, in case you've never heard me talk about this before or you've forgotten about it, let me explain how NET works. It's an acronym, three letters, N-E-T. The first one is to notice the moment. N, notice the moment. Tune in to what's going on that feels pleasurable in that moment, whether it's the sun hitting your face or whether you're laughing and you have that sense of, oh, this just feels so good, or whether you just sit down into that chair with your favorite beverage and there's that moment of, ah, just notice it, tune into it. The E of NET is to expand the emotion or enhance the emotion, however you want to think about it. Just notice how you're feeling when that pleasurable thing happens, whether you're feeling content, relaxed, relieved, overjoyed, whatever it is, notice it. And then if you can figure out even where it is in the body, because often it'll be in the trunk of the body somewhere down from the heart chakra kind of down below into the belly area, you can put your hand on it and even picture it getting bigger, all right? Not your belly, if that's not going to make you feel good, but the emotion. Feel the emotion getting bigger and expanding. When you really tune into that, it's a really powerful feeling. Sometimes when I'm walking my dogs down the road, and especially if the trees are all turning colors and such, it's really beautiful out there, or the sky might be super blue, and I'll just notice it as a pleasurable moment. And I just take that moment. I think, oh, that feels so gorgeous. It's so pretty. I feel so grateful for this. And I'm feeling it in my body. I'm allowing it to expand. And then the T of NET is to tie it down with thoughts. Because just like with those negative things I was talking about, the flat tire and that's what we naturally do, right? We keep thinking about it. We bring it up. We tell people what happened. It goes on and on throughout our day. We get home, our hubby asks us about it. We tell him about it. We talk to our mom on the phone. We tell her about it. Every time we do that, we're tying in that experience more and more into our memory banks. Well, here, we might not talk about it unless we actually make the effort to tie it down with thoughts. So your thoughts can be anything from, what a beautiful day. I love my life. I'm so happy I get to walk out here. I'm so thankful it's a sunny day. I'm so grateful for this. I so appreciate this time with my child, whatever it is. Now, this whole NET thing can take all of 30 seconds, sometimes even less. I do it in about 10 seconds now. I'm pretty practiced at it. And I just notice a pleasurable moment, right away tune into the feeling, have it expand in my belly, and then I tie it down with a few of those thoughts. And that's it. And on I go with my day. But at the end of the day, when someone asks me, so how was your day? I will often say, it was awesome. It was excellent, because guess what? Those pleasurable moments help to balance out any bad things that happened. And then I'm much more likely, if I share any of the bad things, I'm much more likely to laugh about them, right? Because they're no longer a problem. The frustration is gone. So this simple little three-step process called NET grabs onto these pleasurable moments and allows them to positively influence your overall quality of life. So if you weren't already, pay attention to those moments as they arise, net them when you can, and use these rather ordinary moments to help you create an extraordinary life. Now, if you haven't already, you can go to my website at vibrantpowerfulmoms.com and get on my Vibrant Tips list by signing up for the 5 Secrets to Being a Vibrant Woman. One of the follow-up emails that you get will actually give you the NET process and a neat little infographic that you can print out if you want and use as a bookmark. So secret number 2 then is that you control your daily experiences, but only once you are aware of them. So you need secret number 1 there too. And secret number 3, you are here to learn this stuff. This might sound like a goofy statement, but when you really think about it, it starts to make sense. You can't take money, material possessions, or even people with you when you go. In fact, even when you're here on Earth, all of those things can be taken away from you. But what sticks with you is your awareness, your ability to shift your perspective and see things in a new light, and the things that you have learned throughout life. Now, of course, we do forget some of the things that we've learned, but not those big things, those things we had to work really hard to figure out, the ones that help us evolve and grow in life. Those ones tend to stick with us. In fact, there's many people in the circles I follow who believe that what you learn in your lifetime, again, not necessarily math and spelling and such, but real life learning, is added to the collective and becomes part of the knowledge that our higher selves can tap into and share with us when asked. You might also have heard about your cells holding on to memories that pass on to your child and their children and so on, that might come to you from your own parents, your grandparents, or even further back than that. I find that just a fascinating topic, and there's so much more I could share about it, but that would be taking on a bit more than we can handle, we have time for today. So let me take this in a little bit of a different direction instead. I've talked about the whole idea of how the frequency of what you are putting out is attracting things of a similar vibration back to you. If you've ever listened to Esther Hicks channel Abraham, then you've likely heard them describe how every time you shoot off a rocket of desire, the universe listens and provides what you've requested. But if you're not tuned into the same frequency as what you desire, then when the universe sends what you're asking for back to you, you will miss it. It's like a radio station. So even though 99.9 is playing music and acting goofy all day long, every day, if you don't tune your radio to that frequency, you won't hear it. And you might not even know that it's there. When you think about this, the message to me, anyway, is you actually get more bang from your buck by focusing your efforts on raising your vibrational energy than by getting frustrated at others, stressing about things that are going on, or getting caught up in the drama of whatever problem has come up in your life. So how do you do this? Well, I've already shared several ideas. You become aware. You tune into what's going on for you. You open the document. You consciously choose to find a perspective that makes you feel the best you can possibly feel in any given situation. You net as many pleasurable moments as you possibly can. You practice gratitude. You notice the beauty around you, and so on. If you do this on a regular basis, because you will have moments, perhaps even days when you either forget to do it or it just feels too hard to do it, and so you just can't be bothered. But if you do it on a regular basis as much as you can, as you practice, you will notice that your frustrations melt away and they'll stop being a default for you. Your overall joy factor in your life will increase, and you will attract better feeling things to you. The people around you will benefit by your higher vibration, and your relationships will get stronger. You will create happier memories, which will make it easier to keep your own vibration up. And even challenges that you are facing in your life will seem to lighten and work themselves out more easily. That is what we have come here to do. It's that simple. So when you're thinking about your New Year's resolutions or your intentions, or when you're reflecting back over your year, on your birthday maybe, or planning for the year ahead, rather than focus in on changing the things that you're frustrated with, like maybe your weight or your lack of exercise or your unstimulating work environment, remember this show and ask yourself, what should I do right now that will help to raise my vibrational energy? What do I need to become aware of? Where do I need to shift my perspective? How can I bring more joy into my day and see what happens? I remember just recently I was with a friend, and we would get together and just chat about things going on, some of them not happy things, some of them very happy things. And after I left there, she told me that she did her blood pressure all the time, and she took her blood pressure after I left, and she said, you know, my blood pressure was the lowest it ever has been, and yet we talked about some heated topics. And she said to me, I think your vibrational energy actually affected me. I thought that was pretty cool. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.